Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday. Oh, my God, what a weekend that was. Holy smokes. We have a lot to talk about today on the radio show. Let's just see. Among the various things we have to talk about, the Memphis Tigers won a game yesterday, although in more tense fashion than I think we would have liked at the end, but they nevertheless prevailed. I did like John Martin's headline in today's column at the Daily Memphian, something like, Tigers win another close, survive another close one, but will we? So anyway, we as the watching public, it got a little unnecessarily close at the end. Tigers win. Grizzlies, I mean, damn, that's impressive. Grizzlies continue to own Milwaukee, and Jaren continues to look like one of the best players in the NBA. As they go to Milwaukee, he puts up 37, and the Grizz win. They got the Spurs tonight, so that happened. Seth Hennigan was tremendous in the Senior Bowl. I actually went back. Now, did I watch the Senior Bowl live? I did not watch the Senior Bowl live, but I went back and watched every pass he threw. Honestly, watch his incompletions were good.
No, he had a great week.
He had an unbelievable day. 12 of 14, 132 yards. He threw the ball more than any other quarterback. Like, he got the last dibs, but that, you know, because he was a late addition. But because of that, he threw a walk-off touchdown. So that was big. So we have that to talk about. Cal.
Yep.
Goes back to Kentucky and gets the win. Beyonce wins album of the year. We got a full-scale trade war with Canada. Mm-hmm. People are now booing. People in Canada are now booing the national anthem. The market's down, I don't know, 2%, 1.5%, something like that. Let me look right now. Let's see how we're doing on the trade war so far. 1.8%, nearly 2%. The market's down. We got a trade war going on. Punxsutawney Phil. I saw his shadow, Jeffrey, and that means 6 more weeks of winter, although not in Memphis. Pretty toasty in Memphis. Oh, you got the head of the Landers Center. So much news. Go read the Daily Memphian. It's all there. The head of the Landers Center, we knew we'd hear more about this, Jeffrey, when he was mysteriously canned.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Todd Mastry.
I believe that was my first thing was, I feel like this is the last story.
No, it is certainly not the last story. Todd Mastry, director of the Landers Center, he now claims in a legal proceeding that he was canned for booking black artists. So there you go. Rory wins in Pebble. Rory wins Pebble Beach. Does this mean you're optimistic for his year and the future major that he's going to win?
We're not focused on Augusta.
Okay.
We'll believe that when we see it.
Elon Musk, another story in the Daily Memphian. Turned out owed MLG&W $400,000. Like, I don't know if you've ever been late with your power bill, Jeffrey. Sometimes they shut off your power. They did not shut off power to XAI. Now it has been, now though. And I think probably Zeebo helped chip in, don't you imagine?
Yeah, I would hope so. That's what he does.
Of course, helping the less fortunate.
Of course.
And, but anyway, they're up to date now. XAI is supposedly up to date.
He probably just forgot to send his bank info, just like, you know, just like
probably just forget, you know, or maybe it's a tough month. You just, you know, stretch it a little bit, see if you can see what you can get away with. They have a deal where you can call and ask for, you know, they'll work with you because they don't want to be shutting off people's power. You don't want Elon to be chilly in there anyway. Oh, yeah. And there was a massive, massive NBA trade that I still cannot believe. Jeffrey, what was your reaction? How did you hear about the deal? And were you gobsmacked?
I was anyone not? I mean, I just
you had to be gobsmacked. There was nothing other to be than gobsmacked.
I mean, to me, the ultimate explanation of everyone being gobsmacked was Shams had to go back and say, I've not been hacked. This is real.
Patrick Mahomes, and mind you, I'm going to try not to talk about the Super Bowl, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes at all. It is also Super Bowl week. It is trade deadline week. Like I said, we got a lot. He tweeted, wait, what? like, and Shams had to go back in and say, no, I have not been hacked. This actually happened. Luka Doncic to the Lakers, Anthony Davis to the Mavs, assorted other pieces, which we can get into. But absolutely stunning, stunning trade. So are you mad, Jeffrey? Are you angry? Is, I guess, that's one of my first questions. Like, Chris Harrington, he'll join us at 10 o'clock. That's our only guest today. Chris will join us at 10 o'clock. And he famously roots again, does not like the Lakers. He does not like their entitlement. He does not like the fact that, oh, no matter what, just out of the sky, they seem to have another superstar drop into their lap. And what just happened? Another superstar drops into the lap. So do you think... Well, first of all, are you angry? And could this, obviously, beyond being gobsmacked, the next reaction is, what the hell are the Mavs doing? What a disastrously stupid trade for the Mavs to trade away one of the greatest players in the game at age 25. Is there a way you can imagine that we will look back in 5 or 10 years on this deal and think, hey, Nico knew something we didn't. This worked out pretty damn well for the Mavs.
So the first word that comes to mind is confused, and I'm still confused because even when I have sought out, okay, like even if I sit there and go, that's a dumb trade, I'm still seeking out, well, what was the thought process? Like at least like let me hear you out. And the more you seek out the explanation, the more confusion you get that turns into frustration. And I guess, honestly, the best explanation that I can get is that Nico just decided he was done with Luka. But what doesn't make sense to me is, that's fine. You have every right to sit there and go, I don't feel the same way about this player. I see this player regularly. But what I cannot get to a point of resolution is, why did they not at least put Luka on the market if you're going to move him? That's what doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, and of course, as Chris pointed out on Twitter, we have a much more modest version of this that happened a long ago and involved the Memphis Grizzlies.
Sure, the Powell trade.
And that was when Powell was traded to the Lakers. One of the complaints around the league was, why the hell didn't anybody else know and get to bid? Right. So that was one of the complaints then, and that is certainly one of the complaints now. I'm not going to defend this from the Dallas perspective. If I were a Dallas fan, I don't know that I would be one of the people protesting at the arena, but I would feel sick about it. Right. This gives me nausea.
Well, it makes you sit there and go, like, does our GM just work for the Lakers?
No, but I'm not going to defend him, but I'll try to. I will try my all best from his. I think there are two things here that are going on that explain what happened. They're the only ways I can get my mind around it.
All right, let's hear it.
Young Peter called me yesterday and said, "Are they flipping him?" Like,
by the way, happy birthday, right? Yesterday was his birthday.
Yesterday was his birthday. He was so flummoxed by it. He wondered what. Anyway, here's my. I think it starts with the fact that they're out of the Luka business, right? Yep. And that's the thing that he can't.
I think
really
that has to be the starting point. I agree with you.
Yes, And that's the thing that he can't say. You can't sit there in the press conference and trash someone. But when he said in the press conference, I'm not going to be in the business of criticizing players, that's essentially saying, if I was, I would start criticizing this player. So you have to start with the fact that they don't believe in Luka. And in particular, they don't believe in Luka at the price that they will have to be paying for Luka. Because they were going to have to sign him to a supermax this summer. Oddly, when this thing first happened, my first reaction was, oh, they must know that Luka wants out, right? That was my only explanation. How else? You wouldn't rationally do this, but it's very clear, no, Luka didn't want out. Luka would have happily signed the supermax. So that was not what actually happened was they decided they aren't in the Luka business or don't want to be in the Luka business, certainly at that price. And whether that is injury, obviously he's injured right now. He's been injured this year. Not unlike, honestly, the Ja situation, although I think they think conditioning has something to do with it. So whether it's conditioning, whether it's injury, whether it's the lack of defense, whatever it is, they have great skepticism, or real skepticism anyway, about Luka. And certainly at that price. And you look around the league, again, this is not my rationale. But you look around the league and you see what Joel Embiid with a massive salary has sure. done to handicap the Sixers. You see what Kawhi does. You see what Zion does with those. If you have a massive salary tied up in a guy who can't play, well, what does that do for your franchise? Now, again, I think that's kind of crazy. Luka is not those players. Luka just took his team to the NBA finals. But I think, hey, we look around, we see massive contracts for guys that can't play, handicapping franchise, we don't want to be in that business. Now, again, equating Luka to Zion is crazy, right? Like, Luka just proved he could take a team to the NBA Finals. But I think you have to start there. That is the starting. We don't want to pay Luka this amount of money for a guy who we don't believe in, his work ethic. Honestly, that's it. His work ethic, we don't believe in him.
I think I would also say, though, I would have one other detail that I would include in the starting point. I do think you have to consider it is a new ownership group that we know little to nothing about.
Yes. Okay. And yes, could you have sold this to Mark Cuban? Probably not.
Right.
Probably not. But so Nico does not. And to be fair, he was criticized for his trades at the last trade deadlines. Kind of worked out. But I think you still have to start with the fact that they don't believe in Luka. It's weird. They're almost treating him like one would have thought Atlanta at some point might have treated Trae Young. Sure, he's, you know, puts up big numbers, but where's he going to get us? The problem with that comparison is we know he just got you to the NBA Finals. Like, it seems crazy, but I think you have to start there. And then I think, okay, well, why didn't they put him on the open market? Then I think you have to turn immediately to Anthony Davis and say, because they knew the player they wanted for him, and they didn't particularly care about the other offers because they knew the player they wanted for him. They believe in the two-way play of Anthony Davis, who's 31, who has been much more available than Luka certainly this year, who's putting up numbers better than ever this year, and who has a relationship with the GM that goes back, you know, a long time. And so they didn't want to be in the Luka business, and they did want to be in the Anthony Davis business. And that is why they did what they did. Again, seems insane to me, the notion that you made this deal and, you know, the Lakers have another first round draft pick that they could have dealt. You could have extracted from them. The idea that you didn't extract that from them seems crazy to me. The whole thing seems crazy to me. And yes, it angers me because what it means is the Lakers have their next star for the next 10 to 15 years. But I think that's the explanation. They don't like Luka and they really love AD. And so we don't necessarily want to hear what you know, no one else can offer us Anthony Davis, and he's the guy we wanted.
Yeah, I guess though, and you tell me if you think I'm off base here, even if you've targeted Anthony Davis as the player that you want, like, you know that's going to be part of the Lakers package and the offer. It still doesn't make sense to me why you wouldn't at least float out that he's on the market and see what else you can get, because like I still think the Lakers offer with Anthony Davis.
Even if you know that ultimately you're going to take the Lakers offer because it's the only one that can include Anthony Davis,
right?
Why not play it off of other offers so you therefore at least get a better offer from the Lakers? Why not up the bidding? Why have bidding by and that seems just nutty to me. Like, because you're trying to protect Luka, or you're trying to, in case it doesn't happen? Like, why are you, if you have a, once you have a deal that you know you would take from the Lakers, right? Or in the end, there is nothing to be, there's no damage in opening up the bidding. You're not going to end up with Luka, an unhappy Luka on your team, because you know you have a deal from the Lakers that you would accept. And so why not then open it up for bidding? I think it seems crazy. Okay, second question then is, we all think this is crazy. How could it work out well for Dallas?
I think how it works out well for Dallas is they do get better defensively. And to your point, like, you, I do kind of feel bad for Anthony Davis. It's almost like he's viewed as, you know, some like slaw player in this. Anthony Davis is still a very good player. It's just,
he's a Hall of Famer. He's not even just a good player. He's a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah. And so it does allow them to be a more physical team, a team that is not so Luka heliocentric, and it gives you probably more optionality on both ends of the floor. And so therefore, rather than just be like going as Luka goes, you might have a little bit margin for error. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would go more bottom line. I think the only way this works out well for Dallas, if in the next 5 years, Dallas is better than Los Angeles and Dallas makes deeper playoff runs. That's literally the only way it can. So it's not even a whatever. Can they be better? Can they put it defensively? Blah, blah, blah. The truth of the matter is, weirdly, both teams after this trade are kind of funky. Like the Lakers already, what we knew about the Lakers, again, slam dunk trade for the Lakers, but we knew about the Lakers was they needed a big before they traded Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis didn't want to be played at center, was being played at center, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They were going to go out and get a center. Instead, they trade Anthony Davis. So they got no bigs now.
They have no rim protection.
And so, and Dallas already had Gafford and Lively. And so even if you're – and P.J. Washington – like right now you're going to have to make P.J. Washington a small forward, Anthony – which is really he's not. You're going to have to make Anthony Davis the power forward, which really he's not because he really should be a center. And then Gafford and Lively are sent – like – and then they got no one – you know, they got no ball – except for Kyrie, they got no ball handlers. They're short on wings, ball handlers, et cetera. So it both teams right now are kind of funky. I think there have to be more deals to make the lineups make sense, the rosters make sense. But yeah, the way it works is if in the end he can look back in 5 or 10 years and say, you all were criticizing me. Who's got more titles? Who's got more NBA Finals appearances? Who's got – this is a bottom line deal. This is a bottom line business. If you are the team, you know, go back to the Powell thing. Well, the Lakers won titles and the Grizzlies didn't, and that didn't mean it was a bad trade for the Grizzlies. We look back at that one in retrospect and know it was a good deal for the Grizzlies. But that's a totally different situation. These two franchises are both rich, glamour franchises. Obviously, the Lakers more glamorous than Dallas. But still, this should be measured and will be measured in who's going to win more titles, who's going to get to more NBA finals, who's going to have more success in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I guess if you compare it to the Powell trade, and obviously there's been some revisionist history about how much the Grizzlies liked Mark, but like part of the reason why that worked is because Mark was such a tremendous success. Like there's not, I mean, I guess you could make the argument.
But that level of success would not – that level of success, if Dallas does what the Grizzlies do and the Lakers do what the Lakers did – Nico's going to look like an idiot.
Yeah, no. But,
you know,
well, I guess
the success for Dallas,
right? My
can
point
only
is,
mean they just went to the finals. Success can only mean either going back to the finals or winning the finals.
Right. My point is, though, what allowed you to sit there and go, this wasn't as bad of a deal as it was criticized at the time, is because of Mark. And there's really nothing in this deal, I guess, other than maybe if you turn that 29 pick. That 2029. No,
there's a, you don't have to have a. You have Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
You don't need a surprise, Mark. You just need all you need is here. What made that deal look good in retrospect is that it elevated the Grizzlies. After that deal, the Grizzlies had a level of success. Yes, Mark was a massive part of it, but was the key part of it in terms of that deal. But the Grizzlies went on and were much better for having made that deal. It elevated them.
Yeah, and I guess
if this deal elevates Dallas, then it will be a success. But elevating Dallas means winning the championship, not just going to the finals.
No, I mean, I guess you're right. The gamble is from Nico that we believe over the next 5 years, Anthony Davis is a better player than Luka Doncic. You all can call us crazy, whatnot, but that is essentially where they're planting their flag.
Yep, 100%. That's what they're saying. It is. I then look back on. I really was thinking. I have never been as stunned by a trade.
I totally agree because I was racking my brain. I was like, any sport. Like I was going through all of it. This is the one where I was like, I was on because you asked where I was. I was on the couch watching games, and I go, holy cow! And I woke Aaliyah up. She's like, what? And I go, the Mavs just traded Luka, and she like looked at me and she's like, I think she thought I was insane, and she just went right back to sleep.
The well, it's funny. Young Peter tells me that there's a whole now new trend in TikTok. There was a whole bunch of TikToks from women saying that this ruined their night because they were out on a date or whatever, planning
sure.
something with
yeah.
and instead the person they were with. And obviously, this is a sexist take because women can be as interested in this trade as men. But still, that what happened is their husband / boyfriends, whatever, disappeared into the internet for 2 hours to try to
understand.
Because
it didn't make any sense.
Well, because it made no sense. So, but anyway, so it is it the biggest trade ever? It is the biggest trade, certainly, that I ever remember, in part because it's the most surprising. Like Wayne Gretzky is a better hockey player than Luka is a basketball player.
Right.
But we knew he was going to be traded.
Right.
And so
same thing with like Kawhi, the closest thing I could say, the closest reaction I've had to this, and I still think that because it was a trade, not so much it was free agent, the closest thing is Durant going to the Warriors on whatever that was, 4th of July, was that 2015?
Yeah, I did look up, and this was a little irritating too. I looked up the biggest trades in history, and of course, number one is Babe Ruth to the Yankees,
right?
1919 for $100,000, created a dynasty. Like that did not work out well. Whatever the rationale was for the Red Sox, I suspect they probably didn't like Babe's work ethic.
Yeah,
you know,
I would imagine there's probably some similarities.
Little out of shape, a little
puffy.
Why don't you put the
beer down, big fella?
Right. So we just don't want to be in the Babe Ruth business.
Right.
Anyway, that didn't work out so well. The Red Sox were cursed. Are we going to have here the curse of Luka visited on Dallas? Anyway, that's number one. Number two, Wilt Chamberlain to the Sixers. He was traded from the San Francisco Warriors to the Sixers, and this did not work out well for the Warriors because my NBA history isn't as good this deep. The Sixers went on to beat the Warriors in the 1967 NBA Finals.
So yeah, that's a tough scene.
That did not work out well for them. Then you've got Kareem to the Lakers in 75.
Correct me if I'm wrong on my history, like Kareem wanted out.
Yeah. Oh, no, 100%. He wanted out. Five championships. Oh, you know, a lot of these trades, the guy wanted out. So next was Gretzky to the Los Angeles Kings, Herschel to the Minnesota Vikings. That one led to a dynasty for the Cowboys. It's incredible. 18 players and draft picks were involved in that.
That one, I'd listen to an argument because even though Jimmy was saying, what's our only asset? It's Herschel. Let's put him up. Herschel wasn't like begging to be out.
The Cowboys then were 1-15.
Yes.
They used the picks to take Emmitt Smith, Darren Woodson, and Russell Maryland, among others.
And because they were bad, they took Aikman the next year.
And Walker, the Anthony Davis in this deal, didn't do much didn't elevate the Vikings. Ricky Williams to the New Orleans Saints in 1999 for everything.
Traded the whole draft, yeah.
In that draft. Marshall Faulk to the Rams.
From the Colts.
From the Colts. That one did fine. They already had Peyton Manning. They got second and fifth round draft picks. Whatever. Faulk won a Super Bowl and the Colts won Super Bowls. Like, that would be fine. Like, you know, that'd be fine. They won a Super Bowl. They won one Super Bowl, and the Rams won one Super Bowl. A-Rod to the Yankees in 2004. Shaq to the Miami Heat from the Lakers in 2004. Mookie Betts to the Dodgers in 2020. What's striking to me about this, and it gets back to my why I'm enraged, is how many of these deals involved the team from Los Angeles, right?
Sure.
So you had Kareem to the Lakers, Gretzky to the Kings. Shaq was from the Lakers, and Mookie Betts to the Dodgers. So four of the 10 involved Los Angeles.
Well, and some of those that we've been discussing, the Los Angeles teams didn't exist.
That's true. So Babe Ruth, they weren't. Dodgers couldn't have outbid. They probably would have. The Dodgers could not
have loved to have been involved.
They would have loved to be involved. Absolutely right. So that was stunning. And by the way, that trade was so stunning that the DeAndre Fox to the Spurs, who, by the way, are in town tonight, gets lost a little bit in the wash. DeAndre Fox, we knew DeAndre Fox wanted to get dealt, so that fits
in
the other
San Antonio.
And we knew that he wanted to go to San Antonio. The only question was whether it was going to happen by the trade deadline or might have to happen this summer. It's a three-team deal. Sacramento ends up getting Zach LaVine, and it says three firsts, but it's not really. It's really two firsts, because one of the firsts is Charlotte's protected first this year, and if it doesn't convey, and it won't because Charlotte stinks, it turns into 2 seconds. So it's Zach LaVine, and where you can be reunited with DeMar DeRozan to Sacramento.
Listen, anytime you can put the Bulls back together, you got to do it.
Anytime you can put the Bulls. Well, it's an interesting choice by Sacramento, because what they did was they went for, we want to continue to be competitive, right? And they ended up sacrificing a first round pick that ended up going to the Bulls in order to have Zach LaVine. And so whether that is the choice for a team that really isn't going to in a position to win anything in particular. But you look around the Grizzlies and all of a sudden you've got a very, very, very different environment you're living in. Dallas is different. The Lakers are different. Sacramento's different. San Antonio's different. And I think you can argue that both Dallas and the Lakers are worse right now.
They're less threatening to you as a
right now
as an opponent.
Right,
I totally agree.
I think they're worse, partly because their rosters don't make sense, whatever else.
For me, what it is okay, when I look at why the Mavericks have been so tough, it's partly Luka. And yes, Anthony Davis is still there, but now you don't have LeBron like running the show.
But if AD terrified you as a Laker, why doesn't he terrify you as a Mav?
He terrifies me a lot more when you've got LeBron basically orchestrating and playing conductor.
Okay. Anyway, it's fascinating. A little angered me there too, because San Antonio was able to do this deal. They still have lots of draft picks, and they didn't have to give up any of their good young players. And so you've got now Wemby and De'Aaron Fox in the pick and roll for the next 10 years And so life comes at you fast. It was one hell of a weekend on the trade front. It's such a big weekend that you win. We'll ask Chris, obviously, Chris Harrington, about all of this straight up at 10 o'clock when he joins us, not just the particular deals, but also what it means for the Grizzlies this year, looking around, and also what it means in terms of future deals that might be coming down the pike this week, whether they involve the Grizzlies or anyone else. So we'll talk about that in the second hour. We got a lot to get to. Grizzlies played a game. Oh, Jeffrey, just here. I want to make, for people who want to feel better about the Dallas angle of this, the Ole Miss women's coach was asked, she's a massive Lakers fan, and Ole Miss beat Vandy, and of course, what did they talk about in the post game? They talked about the Lakers trade, and here's what she said.
Yo, I actually do have one more. As a Lakers fan, what are your thoughts on the trade?
Cats, I almost texted you this morning. As a defensive coach, I'm in mourning, okay? Because you and I both know Luka can't guard his own shadow. But I'm going to try to remain optimistic. But I mourned the whole night as I saw the news. And I almost texted you this morning, but I didn't want you to think I wasn't focused. So I'm glad that you asked.
I fell asleep. I woke up to go to the bathroom. I had like 100 texts.
I was like, is this fake news? I kept checking the tag and seeing if like it was one of those parody accounts. And I was like, no, like, this is real. I don't know how to feel about it right now. Just give me some time.
So there you go. A Lakers fan in mourning, Jeffrey, because Luka can't guard his shadow. Your thoughts?
So, I mean, the thing that stands out to me about this is I feel like this is the first trade where you saw a lot of media people all say, man, I got texts from GMs all over the country. Like, what happened? Like, what am I missing here? Like, I felt like the rest of the league was caught as off guard as we were.
Yeah, nobody understands it. No one understands it. And I think they're probably angry in the same way that Popovich was angry with the Pau trade. I can't believe you let the Lakers get Pau. I think a lot of the league is angry at this. A, that they didn't have a shot at Luka, although, of course, most teams wouldn't have anyway. Here's the other infuriating thing about it. The Lakers can't offer Luka the same max deal that Dallas could. So they're not just getting Luka. They're getting Luka at a discount with more money to play with than Dallas would have had to build around Luka. All right, we're going to talk Grizz game last night. They emerged triumphant. We'll play some highlights. We'll play some highlights about maybe the best player to come out of that 2018 draft, Jaren Jackson Jr. We'll do that. We'll talk Tigers as well. And then Chris will join us straight up at 10 o'clock. Before that, I will tell you, hey, Leaders Credit Union, which we've been talking about for a while now, and we set up an account there because for all the reasons I explained, like you think I'm making this stuff up, it operates purely for the it's a credit union, so there's no corporate overlords. They operate purely for the benefit of their members, which means better rates. It means better service. It means better technology. Just check it out. Better. Leaders Credit Union. Also, though, while we were away and not talking about it as much in January, they had a grand opening. They've been busy. Grand opening for their Arlington branch. So go check them out in person. You can download the app. You can sign up just by downloading the app. I kind of like going in person. So we went to the Bartlett location to open up our account with Leaders. But now there's a brand new branch in Arlington as well. You can check them out online at leaderscu.com/ESPN. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, we've reached the moment, ladies and gentlemen, over at O'Call, semi-annual sale ongoing. But there is a moment as the days draw to a close where they consolidate the merchandise from their Nashville and Memphis store, and it's all right here in Memphis. So the biggest savings of the sale, fall and winter merchandise, right now, final markdowns up to 70% off. So this would be a splendid time to get in to take advantage of the best savings of the year at Oak Hall. And by the way, get ready for spring, because spring is coming, and then the place is going to be bursting with colors. And so you can take advantage of the best savings of the deal. And think about the wondrous spring that is on the way. Semi-annual sale wrapping up now at Oak Hall. No better time than this week. All right, Jeffrey, before we get to the Grizzlies and the Tigers and their victories over the weekend, I did mention the 2018 draft. You look at it now, it seems like the Grizzlies did okay. DeAndre Ayton, number one to the Suns. Marvin Bagley, number two to the Kings. Luka, number three, actually technically to the Hawks. It means he's been traded twice already. He must be garbage, Jeffrey. Yeah. The only thing I can figure.
Can't keep him Luka, happy.
Not worth a max. Not worth a super max.
Not even worth the number three pick.
Is Jaren four. And Jaren is might be getting the Supermax this summer. Trae Young, five. And then a severe drop-off after that. Honestly, you can argue that the best player coming out of that draft, I mean, it's still Luka. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander went 11.
I mean, Luka still has five first-team All-NBAs.
Yes. No, it's Luka. But, like, I'll say this, Oklahoma City and trying to get rid of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a, yeah. And then Jalen Brunson went 33 in that draft. But my God, Grizzlies did very well in that draft. And we saw it again last night as they defeat the Milwaukee Bucks. No Ja once again, the shoulder still bothering him. And so Jaren goes off for 37, seven threes. 16 points in the fourth quarter. He is must have a thing against the Bucks, Jeffrey. This is a team that he once hit career high nine threes against the Bucks. So Giannis was great. Giannis 30, 11, and 7 assists, but Jaren with 37. Let's give the folks a little taste of Jaren from last night.
Full hand for a curling Desmond Bane. Bane into the paint. Feeds into the left corner for Jaren Jackson. Open looking at three. And Jaren Jackson Jr. buries it. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Jackson with the first triple try of the night. He gets it to go. And now four of the five starters have scored. Jackson on the right wing. Gets free for a three try for the tie. We're knotted up. Ring it up. Put three on the board for Jaren Jackson Jr. Kennard drew a double team and lobbed it right back out to Jackson, who's now got nine in the first half. By Pippen. He'll bring it up the floor himself. Gives left sideline for Kennard with Antetokounmpo in front of him. Kennard drives with the right hand. Feeds for Edie at the foul line to the right wing. Jackson. Wide open three for Jaren is good. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Great ball movement by the Grizzlies there. By Pippen. He'll bring it up the floor himself. Crosses over at Trent. Trent got a hand on the ball. Pippen regains control. Kicks it out for an open Jaren Jackson. Three. Ring it up. Put three on the board for Jaren Jackson Jr. He's got 26. 5 of 9 from beyond the arc. Grizzlies within three. 101-98. Pippen weaves into the paint. Kicks into the right corner. Jaren Jackson. Three on the way. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Timeout Milwaukee. Jaren Jackson Jr., the star is shining in Milwaukee tonight. 9 of 20 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3, 29 points for the All-Star. Pippen on the left wing, out to the top for Jaren Jackson, 3 on the way. Make it 7 triples for the big man. Ring it up, put 3 on the board, 108-103, 32 for Jaren Jackson Jr. tonight. Big possession here. Jackson right elbow inside the foul line. Turnaround left-handed hook from 10. Dances on the iron. Falls into the twine and the Grizzlies take a 7-point lead. Oh, the soft touch for Jaren Jackson Jr. He's got 36.
Jaren with an absolutely spectacular game lifting the Grizzlies yet again. 132 to 119 over the Bucks. They've got the Spurs at FedEx Forum tonight. Jaren also, by the way, survived the busted lip during that game. Desmond Bane was really good, but left with an ankle.
Yeah.
And so that was not good. I'll tell you who was Santi in the fourth quarter and Scottie Pippen in the fourth quarter. Scottie Pippen in the fourth quarter alone had 8 assists and 4 steals. Zach Edey had a double-double last night. That was good. Luke Kennard, again, no jaw, so he had 8 assists. But the star of the show, as has been this season, certainly as of late, Jaren Jackson Jr. And it's perfect timing because Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian has a series, a remarkable series of stories that's going to be running over the next few days at the Daily Memphian about Jaren and some of his off the court stuff. And it's really fascinating. It's about Jaren at Fashion Week. It's about Jaren in the Everglades with snakes. It's about Jaren, like, what? And Jaren in particular has become obsessed with video. He's got a team that does video. And as you read this stuff, again, it's a unbelievable series, great access that Drew got in order to write it, and did a great job of pulling it off. I'll be honest. If you were reading this stuff, you might be tempted, if it were anyone other than Jaren, to think, my God, shouldn't he be in the gym sticking to sports? You know what I mean? Well, first of all, throughout the series, you will see the lengths that he goes to be in the gym, no matter where he is, right? No matter where he is, no matter the circumstances, the lengths that he goes to be in the gym. But one of the remarkable things about Jaren that is captured in this series is that he is blowing up as a basketball player this year. And it is simultaneously sort of blowing up and growing, and like, as a human being, you know, like he is, you know, he's one of the 15 best basketball players in the world right now. He just is.
I mean, you can make an argument in the fourth quarter on a floor with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
He was better than Giannis.
Yeah.
He was the best player on the court. And he is doing it at a time that he doesn't care that he looks like anyone else, that he is feasting on the world, and he's interested in, you know, I mean, we saw this from the moment that he was drafted, and, you know, he immediately is urging people to vote. Like, it's been one of his campaigns to get people to get involved in what's going on around them. But whether it's urging people to vote, or whether it's getting vaccinated or publicly, or whether it's, you know, then being involved in music and then being involved in fashion and now being involved in video. I would like to think that if I had the level of stardom and honestly money that Jaren did, that I wouldn't just sit in my house counting the money and playing video games, but that I would be sucking the marrow out of life. And Jaren is doing that. Again, read the series and you'll see what I'm talking about. But at the same time, he's blowing up as a basketball player. Like, it's kind of extraordinary. He is a man in full, is Jaren Jackson Jr. And I don't know, like, to see what he, again, he started as a very promising player, but to see what he has become, both as a player, as a human, I don't think we appreciate it. And in fact, I really do think Jaren has been a vastly underappreciated Grizzly, certainly league-wide, but even in Memphis. And I don't know that that's going to be true any longer when Jaren is going off like he did last night. So we do, Jeffrey, have the Spurs tonight. I can't imagine De'Aaron Fox is going to play in that. And do we have – I haven't seen – an injury report from the Grizzlies for tonight.
Usually on the back, on the back-to-back, those usually
don't. Yeah, you don't get it as early, right?
Yeah. There's not an official report yet.
If Ja is out, yeah, I just checked it during the break and didn't see it. If Ja is out and Dez is out, which that would not be surprising. Dez tried to play last night. Gritty effort by Dez. But in the end, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't have either of them. Maybe a Yuki night, Jeffrey. Maybe a Yuki night. Anyway, they got the Spurs tonight. Oh, and by the way, your Memphis Grizzlies, while all this chaos is happening around them in the West, they have moved into second place, Jeffrey.
Correct. They have a half-game lead over the Rockets.
They have a half-game lead over the, let's call them what they are, hated Rockets.
Yes, of course.
Over the hated Rockets. And so good for the Grizzlies for doing that. That was just really impressive last night to see them pull that off without Ja. I'm worried about Ja a little, though. Are you?
Yeah, I think he needs a little timeout. You know what I mean? Kind of the old reset.
I think his shoulder hurts. I don't think it's his ego that's hurt.
I think they're all related, though.
That's fine, but I don't think it's principally the ego. I think it's principally he's got a bad shoulder.
No, I agree.
And yes, and that could lead to frustration and everything else of what we saw on the sidelines the other night. It is interesting, though, and I am not suggesting this. I love having Ja as a Grizzly. I hesitate to. It is interesting, though. Dallas moves on a player who is unavailable but incredibly gifted. No, you never would.
No,
like if you're lucky enough to get Ja Morant in Memphis, you hang on to Ja Morant as long as you can in Memphis. We are like as great as Jaren is. There's no one more fun to watch play basketball in Memphis or across the league than Ja Morant.
And as great as Jaren is, their ceiling is still dictated by Ja.
100%. But it's Ja, Jaren, and Dez working together, being their best selves together, which we really have not been able to see. Anyway, so hope and good health for the Grizzlies. Memphis Tigers also prevailed last night, beating Rice 86-83. Listen, they were up 80-69 with 2:53 left. I didn't watch every second. I'm like, okay, they got this in hand, right? And then down the stretch, I had to watch every damn second. As Jordan misses the front end of a 1-1, Haggerty misses the front end of a 1-1. Rice goes briefly berserk, and you need PJ Carter to hit free throws down the stretch and then honestly to make the defensive play down the stretch as well. So they win and drop two spots in the net from 40-42. PJ Carter's obviously emerging as a story. First 19 games, Partha Padia has a story about this in the Daily Memphian, averaged 3.8 points through the first 19 games. In the last three, he has averaged 15.7 points a game. In the last three, he had 14, 14, and 19 yesterday, shooting 11 of 20 from three. It's one of the positive things. We wondered, what are they going to do? Like, if one of their guys doesn't have it, they're so thin. To have PJ Carter emerging as someone you can count on is a significant development. Obviously, this is against a team that he originally was going to transfer to Rice.
Yeah.
Before he ended up in Memphis. It's a good thing he did. But anyway, you have, and John Martin wrote about this, today, it's just sort of, this is the peril of the season. Like, they're bored, second half slips away, and then you get a win that does you no good whatsoever. You survive it. And as a viewing experience, is kind of excruciating. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of view not all close wins are the same. I thought this one was way less discouraging than some of the other ones. Like, I thought they played well. I honestly kind of tipped my cap to Rice. Like, there's a lot of teams that would have died. They just kept coming at them. Memphis still led for 38 plus minutes. Like, I don't know. To me, this one was way less discouraging than some of the other close losses. I kind of tipped my cap to Rice. I just felt like they kept the game closer because they wouldn't give up.
I don't find it discouraging at all. I mean, they shot 55% from the floor. They shot 52.4% from three. They had 20 assists. So I'm not discouraged by it. They had 16 turnovers that led to 23 points. And I think we've seen when they're bored and complacent, they turn the ball over, but they won't necessarily, at least hopefully. And we've seen some evidence that they can rein it in when they're in serious games. The win wasn't discouraging. The way they played, honestly, for me, wasn't discouraging. The only thing that's discouraging is the schedule, right?
Yes, like absolutely.
The only thing is when you play, and they have another one coming up now against Tulsa, you play against a bunch of games where there is no, and I've said this before, Kentucky, Arkansas. For both teams, there was available to be had joy if you won, and despair if you lost. And those were roughly in equal measure, right? The level of despair that you would feel if your team loses is equaled by the amount of joy that you would feel if your team wins. So yes, you might end up feeling despair, but you know what? if you win, you're going to feel just as much joy as you would have felt despair if you lose. That's the bargain. It's honestly what happens with the Bills and the Chiefs.
Sure.
You know, whatever. It's all on the line. Maybe less despair if you're a Chiefs fan because you won so much before. But you get the point. The Tigers go into these games where there is this much, and I'm holding my arms far apart, despair if they lose, and practically no joy available if they win. That's not a calculus for an enjoyable viewing experience. And it's why, to look back at the Ed Scott conversation, it's why there was this just upwelling of desire to get the hell out of this conference, even if it didn't make logical sense. Even if it didn't, and I accept Ed Scott on that point, it didn't make logical sense. But it's also why that conversation, by the way, is not going away, is because what's the fun in yesterday? Again, I'm not alarmed or depressed or discouraged or anything else. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're going to be a four seed, right? That's great. But I am discouraged by the fact that where's the fun in yesterday's victory?
I mean, it's you have to like mentally just talk yourself into it. It's just another chance to watch your guys play.
I think that's right. That's right.
You knew the games with the stakes that you're mentioning. You knew those were all coming prior to January 1, and you also knew come conference play. And I think this would maybe be the other flip side of joy. We've seen Tiger teams before have good non-conference slates, get into the conference slate, and just kind of sleepwalk. Listen, I know some of these games have been uncomfortable, but I agree with you. Like, you're not just going to go through and roll 17-1 and win by 30 points every game. But to me, a key difference is these are games that maybe at times other teams would have lost, and they still keep winning. And so that's kind of the other joy is, all right, maybe 100%. Talk yourself into it. This is different because they're not letting these games, they're not losing these games that they're fooling around in.
And there's a certain type of fan. It is enough simply to see your guys, you know, and that's enough. It doesn't require high stakes on both sides or whatever. Hey, they're my guys. I like them. I'm going to watch them, and I'm going to be happy when they win. And in the meantime, we are marching towards the NCAA tournament. That was the original suspense this year. If you wind back, you realize once upon a time we were saying the bar was just make the NCAA tournament, and they very clearly I have great confidence. Do you not also have great confidence that they will, in fact, make the NCAA tournament? In fact, I was looking at my calendar and the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, wondering where I will be, because I think I'll go on the road for them that weekend. Anyway, we got Chris Harrington to discuss all the NBA action from over the weekend when we return. Before then, I will tell you, it is now February. That means Valentine's Day is bearing down upon us, and that means it is time to get into Robert Irwin Jewelers, where they got the best deal ever. Box of chocolate, dozen roses. All you have to do is buy something worth $99 or more. While supplies last. Want to add that caveat. While supplies last. Now, they're not going to hand you the roses today, because why would you want the roses today? They're going to give you a voucher for the roses. Swing by, get it, and someday you're going to be able to show up with a box of chocolates, a dozen roses, and, you know, they got this incredible Love You to the Moon and Back pendant, $129. Or get an engagement ring if that's the mood. Congratulations, by the way. Glad you found your person. That's a wonderful thing. Diamond Solitaire earrings, whole Diamond Solitaire collection in there. They've got beautiful, beautiful, beautiful jewelry. Great financing options.